Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, praise God. My, the presence of the Lord is just in this place, and I'm just honored just to be here tonight with these great men of God. And I tell it wherever I go, people always ask me, who's your favorite singer? And I have to let them know the truth. Pastor Marvin Winans is just the most awesome singer that I know. But what I appreciate about him, in fact, in sharing with these pastors tonight, not only are they great singers, but they're great preachers. And that's the blessing. When you can get into the Word of God and understand what He is saying now, and that's why tonight, as I share this song, and it's really coming out in December, and I've shared with our second presiding bishop, Bishop Neil C. Ellis, in Mount Tabor in the Bahamas. And one of his people wrote this awesome song that I felt is so befitting here, because what people have to understand, and I speak to pastors now, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. I don't want to be wrapped up in my title. I don't want to sit around while other people are being blessed and I miss it. So Lord, whatever you're doing, please don't do it without me. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Now it's simple. You can help me just say, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Come on, help me say.
Hello, hello, everybody. It's good to have an opportunity to come before you again. This is Talking Sports Plus. I'm really excited about having an opportunity on Wednesday. Now, in our earlier show, which was our preview show, I had a chance to share with everybody what Talking Sports is all about. My name is Dr. Loretta D. Smith, the host, and I'm always excited about coming to you on Hump Day, sharing these thoughts with you about the hottest topics dealing with historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle schools in the southeastern part of the United States. So I'm so excited. Now, our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And you can go to the web link if you want to listen to the show. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Production. Also, if you want to email the show, you can go to talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. Also, you have an opportunity to go to Twitter. You can tweet the show at Talking Sports Plus with the number one, at Lorenza D. Smith, at, and this is one of our co-hosts, Elliot Darrow with the number one, at Tremaine Edward with the number seven, and our millennium at Coach_L_ Smith. So you have a way, all the ways to contact us, and we look forward to having you on here. Now, our title for tonight's show is It's Magic in the Air. So we're going to do some magical things, because we're going to be talking about that Magic City Classic. That's what it's all about. But before I do that, I want to introduce the two co-hosts who are with us at this time. And I have to always do that, because as they join us, I'll make a point to introduce them and make sure they get that gay-level introduction. It's Red Carpet here. Talking Sports Plus is all about Red Carpet. So let's get ready to make it do what it do. First, he hails from the southern part of Alabama, all the way down close to the Florida line, as close to the Gulf Coast you can get. From Dothan over to Hop, from Hop up to Montgomery, from Montgomery over to Troy. He's known as the Don King of Entertainment, the man that carries the E-Train. He is the E-Train, none other than Daryl E-Train Elliott. How you doing, Daryl?
So glad to be with you tonight, Coach, and so glad to be with you tonight, Doc. Man, let's get this thing going. Let's roll.
Man, what you say? Let's make it do what it do. And next we have, and I tell you, I get excited every time I introduce this young man. I always identify with that slogan, but you know, Daryl, you gave him a name that we're going to start calling him. He's known to everybody with a slogan, a saying, ain't no fun when the rabbit had the gun. But you know what? He's our king. He hails from North Alabama. He's from Huntsville, Alabama. His name is Coach Tremaine King, K-I-N-G, Edwards. How you doing, Tremaine?
How y'all doing tonight? Glad to be here. Hot topics, baby. Hot topics. Let's get this thing started.
Oh yeah, let's get the ball rolling, because you know, like, roll out there. It's time to roll out the basketball. It's time to roll out Talking Sports Plus, and we're ready to make it do what it do. So brothers, let's get ready. Let's talk about some exciting topics that we have on the law. Now we want to look at we're gonna go to the historical black colleges and university storyline. We're gonna start off with that, because we got the other thing that we always touch on. We're going to come back to those, but we want to start off with the historical black college and university. Magic City Classic between Alabama State University and Alabama A&M. Tell me what you think about it, fellas. Tell us about the glamour. Tell us about what you hear. Tell us about what everybody's talking about, the Magic City Classic. Let our audience know exactly how you feel.
Let me get mine out of the way, because I know the king has the flow once I stop talking. But Magic City Classic. All right, ASU 27, A&M 20. I know. But see, Bama State isn't as bad as everybody as they look now. And believe it or not, they're a heck of a lot richer in money than they are wins and losses. Now, the big payout games against Auburn and Kennesaw State and South Alabama are behind them. And let's see, overtime win, Alcorn has just about given them, well, the East Division title. They will win out. Dunn Ely is a great coach. So I see Bama State taking A&M, and that's all I got to say. It's on you, Coach. Take it away, King.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Barry, I'm gonna have to go the other way with you right now. I'm gonna tell y'all what I think, and y'all tell me what y'all think. I'm gonna overlook the rivalry week. I'm overlooking that. I'm going with A&M winning big for Magic City Classic. I just don't think Alabama State has the tools to keep up with A&M. We're very explosive at A&M. Dr. Smith, I'm going to tell you this, man. You know, I got word from one of my boys about the homecoming game. The reason why Alcorn ran away from us, Dr. Smith, is our best player got put out the game for a targeting penalty, which is Yusuf Batum. So I really don't think and I'm gonna say it like this: if Alabama State can run the ball, I think it'll be an okay game. But I think our offense is too powerful at Alabama A&M for Alabama State to handle. We look good offensively, man. We can throw the ball all around the field, and we also can run it. So I think if we can get it going and stop Alabama State's run, I think we'll blow them jokers out, Dr. Smith. I mean, it's a bold prediction, but I'm out there. I'm going out there on that limb, man. I'm going to go there.
All right, what's your score here? Tell me what your score here. What you think it's going to be?
35-13, Dr. Smith.
35-13. All right, then. We have – I want to introduce you before you come on, my brother. I want to make sure I do that now. You know, we have our third co-host, and he's joined us. And I always say that's that young man who decided to retire at a young age. And ain't nothing better than being retired. Friends for many years. And he hails from South Alabama. And he's known as Touchdown Tony. Coach Tony Stallworth.
Yeah.
How you doing, sir?
I'm in. And I got in at the right time when I heard the prognosticator from North Alabama predicting because they got one player hurt. You can't be a college football team worried about one player being hurt. It's a team.
That one player make a whole lot of difference when they put out for targeting. Hey, ask LSU. You see what they crying about now? That one player making a whole difference. We don't want to play if he's not there. They need to look at that again. That's going to hurt you.
Well, I say it like this. I said it the last couple of years. I know I said it last year. It's one of the games that we have to look at. We're going to respect our alma maters. We should. But by the same token, we have to look at the magnitude of the game, what the game brings, and the two schools that it brings together. And sometimes it divides, but at the end of the game, it brings you back. But it is the largest showcase for HBCU. And I feel like this. At any given time, either team can win. It's obvious, if you go back and look at all the data, that they ain't never meant nothing but the record coming in. It's all about who's ready to play, who understands the tradition, and who's willing to go the whole nine yards. So my prediction is this. My prediction is ASU with a squeaker. When I say a squeaker, I say it like this. Double figure scoring into the 20s, and I take ASU 20-14. Now, I can't say this on the air, but after we get off the air, Sal, you and Trey, if y'all want to hit old Touchdown back and sneak a little bit in there, I'm all for that.
Woo! All right, then. It's on.
I'm just like the old college professor, Dr. Carter, used to tell us in grad school, I'm just putting the hay out there where the goat could get it.
There you go. Woo. What are you talking about? I thank each and every one of y'all for giving your prediction, but you can join by calling in 347-857-4192. Now, let me kind of get my prognostication on about what's going to happen. I truly, truly believe that as I made my prediction from the beginning, the two games that Alabama State needed to win before they got for the Classic, and they did exactly what I thought they would do. And then in the process, they were able to make some money, as Darryl said, and rest some players. So the point is, having that rest going to mean a whole lot, and plus getting that playing experience against high-level talent is going to help ASU. I really think that they have Ely has come to the point, got them believing. We knew he was having them believe last year. But I personally do believe that that defense will play at a level that I don't think most teams and A&M, not saying they're not accustomed to, that they're going to play. I think it was not a fluke when they went down to Alcorn and beat Alcorn for homecoming. It wasn't a fluke. It wasn't a fluke because, first of all, they have the defense to play. The problem is a lot of times the offense. But they made a decision to change quarterbacks. And when they made that decision to change quarterbacks, it was nothing but a plus because this young man, as y'all know, transferred from Tuskegee, has the long ball. And he throws the long ball that puts defense in rough situations, whereas Darryl was more of a one-dimension. Pearson was a one-dimension quarterback. So the bottom line is, I'm just going to say my prediction will be 28-14, and that's Alabama State University. I just don't believe it's going to be as close as everybody thinks it's going to be. So, you know, we got three in here saying Alabama State going to win, and we got one, Dean Trey, saying that Alabama A&M is going to win. So it's going to be awesome.
We all know about
but,
that.
And like I said, the pageantry. Think about the pageantry. And y'all, and we can take our opportunity to talk about the pageantry, but we want you to do the same thing by calling in, 347-857-4192. And like I said, Trey, some of you, you know, you talk to some people, then you know your buddy is around here, you know what they saying. And they ought to call in. They tell you all the text and say, call in and share your thoughts. Tell us what y'all saying and breathing, you know, on the outside about what you think is going to happen in regard. But the pageantry up there, we know it started yesterday, and it's going on as we speak now. We always said put your meat, M-E-A-T, in the seat, and you can have an outstanding time at the Majestic Classic. They got so many things going. It's a festive occasion. Not only just a game that's coming on at 2:30, that's going to be at 2:30, but all the other things, the parades they're going to have. Then you have the things, the comedy shows that's going on. You have the R&B shows that are going on on Friday night and Thursday night, as well as Saturday after the show. You got Gucci Mane going to be there. So you got a lot going on. And so that's why I would say it's magic in the air. You're talking about Magic City Classic. And it's a joy. It's when families come together. One can be for Alabama State, the other will be for Alabama A&M, but we're all family, and we're going to have an awesome time, so you need to join us. You need to be there. You need to come in and enjoy yourself. If you can't come in, go to your internet or go to your laptop or go to your phone, and you can watch it on your phone. And then later on that night on ESPN, you can see the pre-recorded part of it, see the recorded part of it, late on that night. So it's going to be exciting. So we look forward. Any other thoughts about the Magic City Classic?
No, sir. No, sir. We read the roll.
No other thoughts?
No other thoughts. All right.
Now we're going to look at, we're going to stay with the SWAC. We're going to, stay with the Historical Black College and University. Just talk about a few games. There are some noticeable games in the SWAC, and those noticeable games, we're going to talk about the CIAA, we're going to talk about the MEAC, and we're going to talk about the SIAC. But you got Alcorn, who's 5-1, taking on Prairie View, who's 2-1. Alcorn is tied for first, but because they had played six games, they put them in first place. But they are, if they end up in a tie, they in the tiebreaker goes to Alabama State University because they the one beat them. Tell me what your thoughts on that. What y'all think about that? Prairie View, who's second in the West over there, and Alcorn State, who's first tied with Alabama State. Tell me what your prediction is on that game, guys.
I think you brought some very good points up earlier that have allowed Alabama State University to be somewhat of a second half team going forward by the change in quarterback. Think that You know, it's unfortunate that sometimes injury sustains changes, or sometimes just coaches making decisions at the right times to justify the outcome of the season. So I think that winning that game, and we talked about that, I mean, you talked about that prior to that, winning that game at Alcorn and how things ended up with A&M in Alcorn makes it very interesting. And you know and I know that this time of year, things are always not quite decided. The Magic City Classic is sometimes one of those games that could decide something, sometimes it don't decide anything. But I think ASU going in the Magic City Classic with what they have done prior with Alcorn could substantially put some things into perspective and put some pressure on folks going forward. That's just my prediction on that.
Okay.
Let me barge in now, Dr. Smith.
I agree totally with
Touchdown Tony. I agree totally with that. I'm not gonna jump to the conclusion this year with the Eastern Conference SWAC. Like you said, Alabama State controls their own destiny if they want to win the East. I don't think they will. I think Alabama State will slip up on two or three games toward the end of their schedule. Alabama State still has Jackson State, and they also have Alabama A&M in their way. So I think they will slip up. I watched a little film on Alabama State now and again. And I'm just not impressed.
I watched
a film on Alabama State, and I know you guys are watching the same thing. I'm not impressed with y'all passing game, and I don't think we're gonna respect it enough to try to stop that. Like you said, this guy had Dr. Smith, nothing against this guy, but he had a subpar mediocre game against Alcorn. I think Alcorn just came out flat, and they slipped up on him. I mean, he threw for, I think it was like 140 yards. So he threw for two touchdowns, but I don't think it was impressive enough to respect him. The guy that needs to be respected is the
Let me say this. Third-part game. He threw two touchdowns. He beat Alcorn. What did A&M do against Alcorn?
Wait, I just told you what happened against Alcorn. Touchdown Tony. It was 10-10 at the half. We got a targeting penalty with no time on the clock going into halftime for a crackback block, which we intercepted the ball before the half. And the second half kicked off. The quarterback for Alcorn ran a 98-yard touchdown off the run. Then he came back later and ran a 75-yard touchdown off the run, which blew the game out. So if y'all ain't got nobody back there running like that, I don't think y'all going to beat us. I'm just putting that out there.
But the team that ran them back on you didn't run them back on us.
Well, Touchdown Tony, that's what I'm saying. The guy that we got out there stopping that got hurt doing a crackback block on an interception return before the half. The score was 10-10 at halftime. It was an even game. Alcorn blew the game out. I just need you to go to the SWAT page and look up Yusuf Bethune. This is the best thing since Robert Matthews for us. This is the best thing. Like, he's on the same level right now. So, I mean, if he's not there, that's a game changer in the SWAT. If he's not there, I mean, we're done. And once he got the targeting penalty, we were done. So and like I said, I'm not impressed with Alabama State's passing game. That's not how y'all beat people. Y'all beat people with the little scat back y'all got back there. Y'all run them and you throw it to them. I'm not really doing my homework. I see what y'all doing. It's up to Alabama A&M coaches to know what they up against. And I think we have a real good chance to blow this game out because Alabama State offense is not explosive enough. And it looks like an offense that we're going to talk about later on in the show after this bye week we get off of right here.
All right, that's awesome. Okay, come on, Dare. Go ahead, Dare. There you go, Dare. No, I was just gonna say,
well, my God, I'm glad y'all got all this out now, because it was getting a little thick on the line, and I was like, okay, now who gonna jump first? You know, the rabbit. but Let me say this. Each analysis that you gave was spot on as far as I'm concerned. But the reality is this: Alabama State may not have what you think, Trey, that they should have to win the game. But one thing I think they do have is a talent level and a coaching level to outcoach Alabama A&M. That's my short story. Go ahead.
Trey gonna be all right. Trey gonna be all right. He understands.
Well,
he understands. Saturday is going to be a bright, bright morning star on him. You understand?
Let me add this to it as well. You know, one of the things I always have a problem with in this game that when first year coaches always have a problem in this game. And I always think that's something that's against them. And they have had coaches, first year coaches, and won. Now, Alabama State coach wasn't the first year coach that won because he already had coached some games. My point in regards to Alabama State. So I always look at that too as well. But then again, there's something about those individuals in this game, no matter how you look in another game, and on how you look, this is a classic, and they're going to be playing at the level that they need to play. What we see, even on film, or what we see, and I'm watching one game and two games, or whatever it is, ain't going to mean a whole lot. And no matter who they got or who Alabama State got or A&M got, this is they're going to go out and they're going to play. And they're going to play hard.
That's an Urban Meal. That's an Urban Meal. Because A&M has played like doo-doo the last 2 and 3 years, and we have been doo-doo the last 2 or 3 years. No matter what this game meant, we got blew out every year. Spader was there. He won 1 year against Balo, and Balo blew that one. Balo blew that.
Okay.
But every year we play like doo-doo.
Okay. So, Trey, let me ask you, what I'm saying is a game. Regardless of how you come to play, he should have gotten to play. So the bottom line is, it's going to be a classic game. So let's go out there and they're going to play. And regardless of what we think is going to be in regards to what they played last week, 2 weeks, they have 2 weeks to get it together. So we're going to have to kind of see where they're going to go. I just say, from what I saw, I think that defense is well parked. A&M has a bad habit, and you know this for a fact. Getting out, they'll score, and then they fall apart. And that's because of the coaches still trying to come, the players still trying to come together, I do think. So we'll kind of see how it's going to turn out. We'll see how it's going to turn out. So we can't wait to it. But we kind of got off task. We wanted to get back to Alcorn, making a prediction with Alcorn and Prairie View because we got Jackson State and Southern. We want to make a prediction. What do y'all think about those two games that's going on? Because they're going to have a major effect on how this conference is going to end up on the East and the West. Because with Jackson State being tied with first place, they're playing the top team in the West over there. And then you got Alcorn playing the second place team. So you got a situation that's going to be noticeable. What y'all think about those two games?
I'll give my prediction right quick. I'm going to give Alcorn the edge. I'm going to stay in the East against Prairie View. That's going to be a hard-fought game. I think Alcorn pulls it out 29-28. With the Jackson State Southern, that will be a blowout. I'm going to go with Southern big over Jackson State.
I don't think Jackson State has enough. They're dealing with a new offensive coordinator. They fired their offensive coordinator after the Alabama A&M game. So I think they will blow Jackson State out. Jackson State is also coming off of, I think, a loss against Pine Bluff. Was it Pine Bluff, Dr. Smith?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
it's Pine Bluff.
Yeah.
So I got Southern winning big that game. I'm gonna go 35-10.
Okay. Okay. And we got Alcorn winning on that side. Okay.
And I concur right. with Trey on that. I'm gonna stay 27-10 though. But the moving finger right haven't written, I'm gonna move on. You're right, Trey. I'll go with you on that.
Okay.
Touchdown, let's go.
Yeah, I thought he wouldn't sleep on that old man. Well, yeah, touchdown, Tony. I lost him. All right.
Yeah, he walked away from the phone. He probably would be back.
He probably walked away from the phone. Yeah, I think it'll be Alcorn. We'll beat Prairie View as well. And then I think Southern will beat Jackson State, and that kind of pushed them out the way right there. So they won't have any strain or have any push in that end. So we'll kind of see some things develop. This weekend going to help to kind of put the picture because Alcorn will not have – I don't think they'll have no more one other game beyond that because they 5-1. They playing – I think they're playing eight or seven games. So if they 5-1 in the conference, if they 5-1 in the conference, then they don't have one or two games to go. So this is going to be big. They win this one. They in good shape. Then they'll sit right and wait for everybody else to win or lose. So we'll kind of see how that turns out on that end. So that's what I got. I got Southern will beat Jackson State 28-14. I like that number. And Alcorn would beat Prairie View probably about, and I personally think they're going to put it on them. They're going to be more like a 35-10 ball game. Touchdown, Tony. You still with us?
I'm here.
Okay. We lost you for a second. You stepped away from the phone. That's what Dale said. You probably stepped away, but we were just giving our prediction on the Alcorn and Prairie View game and Jackson State and Southern game.
Sometimes touchdown have to listen. You know, education is
okay.
Sometimes. You can't always do talking.
Okay.
Y'all always complain about me talking, and sometimes I want to listen.
Yeah. All right. Let's go with it here. All right. Okay. All right. So we're gonna, you know, wait for your prediction. Touchdown, Tony.
I haven't seen. We're talking about the Southern Jackson State game now. Is that right?
Yeah. Southern and Jackson State.
I haven't seen either one of the teams. I've been following up on them statistically. I'm one of those type of guys that really make positive predictions of what I see. So I look for strength and weakness. Southern traditionally have always risen from the top. Usually they're undefeated this time of year. So I take Southern over Jackson State in this game. And I don't have a point variation.
Okay.
I don't have a score variation, but I have a point variation. I say maybe 11 points, and I go with Southern.
Okay. All right. All right, you can do the same. You can call in at 347-857-4192. Press 1, and we'll get you on the line by identifying with those four digits of the last four digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to introduce yourself and where you're located and share your thoughts and your prediction. All right, we're going to move to the SIAC, and there's some noticeable game in the CIAA and the SIAC. Now, the MEAC have some games. I just, you know, they was not noticeable. They were stepping out going different places, but I kind of pulled off some of the ones that are noticeable in the CIAA and the SIAC. In the CIAA, you have Bowie State, who's leading the conference at the northern part of the conference, 4-1, going against Lincoln of Pennsylvania. Then in the AC. You have Tuskegee versus Central State, as well as Fort Valley versus Morehouse. Morehouse is leading they're second in the East behind Albany State, and then Tuskegee is leading the West. So those are noticeable games in the SIAC and the CIAA. Now, we're going to kind of move back to touching bases on our high school storyline. And Touchdown Tony, we're going to kind of lead the flow where you can talk a little bit about that, then we'll talk about some specific playoff pitchers that's coming through for certain people.
Let me drop this one on you before we move to that. I got a chance to go up to Tuskegee for their homecoming this weekend, and Tuskegee looks real good in the area of their passing efficiency. They spread offense, and they move the ball up and down the field. So I think for our listeners' sake, I think Tuskegee is one of the teams that in the SIAC, as always, is one of the teams that noticeably. But let me go back to Tuskegee. They're 5-1. I wonder where that one loss came from, Dr. Smith.
Moving
on.
High school. Go Touchdown, Tony. Go.
Here we go. In 7A, Central Phoenix City, still number one. They beat Jeff Davis 49-0 last week. Do y'all remember that one? Thompson at number two. Beat Mount Brook 31-7. Auburn, let me tell you about this. Auburn at number three. Y'all pushing this one in now. Fred, you pushing this in too. Auburn plays number one, Central Phoenix City, game 10 at Central Phoenix City, and it could be a possibly number one, number two contest. Cuba, still at number four, 6-2. They beat Best Savior 31-14, but still hadn't lost in the state, or have they? They did lose in the state. Did you hear Trussell beat them? Yeah.
Yeah.
Got about that.
Yeah.
Lost twice in the state.
No, number one of them was in Washington. No, the polls got them at six.
They lost three games, right?
Yeah.
No, they're 6-2. They're 6-2.
All right.
All right. In 6A, Pinson Valley only lost one. They lost that one to who? Hoover. Still at number one. Spanish Fort, that's one of the boys from down in Greenville that left and went down to Spanish Fort.
Blackmon.
So true.
Yeah.
And surprise to all, Saraland is at number three at 8-0. Not a football down there on that coast. 5A, Vigor. Well, that's one of the twins down there. 7-0. Etowah, 8-0. Greenville at number six. Now, Greenville lost one. They lost that one to Tarver. 4A, USS Ross. Still 7-0. Defending state champion last year. We got one local team that we want to recognize, even though it's a private school. I don't mean it like that, but I'm saying private schools don't usually be in there. And that's Montgomery Catholic at 9-6-2. 3A. Now, SAC, Mobile Christian. I saw Pike County ease up in there. You know, Pike County back in the day, Lowe's used to be kind of like y'all was down in McKenzie. 15 strong.
Yeah. 15 players, yep.
That's right. They're at number 10 and 3A. Now, let me go to 2A. 2A, last week we had a little upset down here in Crenshaw County with Holland Home, which Holland Home came in to Laverne. Laverne was ranked number two, both in the same region. However, Holland Home won that game, but Holland Home was not given the credit they would do because they were ranked very high, two or three in the state in total offense. Real Town, Jackie O'Neill's old team at number three. I don't know who's coaching up that low, but they 7-1. LeBron dropped 6-1, Holland 6-1, and 1A. Let's not forget, Lynette won it in 2A last year in basketball and football, and they 6-1 in 1A. The team I think you need to pencil down, now, and this is our frat brother down there, Demetrius Jackson at Linden.
Okay.
7-0. Beat Maplesville already, but Maplesville has moved up to number two behind them. We might have to ride down in the woods to see some of that before it's over with. Georgiana, still alive.
Yeah.
They beat Elba last week. Maringo, remember Maringo went into Georgiana last year and shot Georgiana, and Georgiana was undefeated. They at number seven, and number nine is Elba. I'm going to tell you something now. is really winding down now to regional play time. But I can say this. Football is going to be real good in high school 1-7A this year, because what was last year, people got to understand, is not going to be the same this year, because some teams have changed its classes. And for some schools to change classes, sometimes don't always represent well. But two schools I think that will, one of them I know will be Lynette. I'm penciling Lynette in now. Everybody else out the sight. I think Central Phoenix City might have a shot this year. But don't count Hoover out, right, Trey? Not up that way, because they found a way during postseason to get it done. Now you have it. High school football. It is what it is.
And that's an awesome report, Touchdown Tony. I just wanted to kind of share some thoughts, and maybe y'all hadn't looked at it, but we try to look at the playoff picture, and I want us to talk a little bit about the playoff picture. You know, we're seeing these teams that are ranked high, those teams that are doing well. But in Region 2, the 6A, there's a thing going on where you got three teams that are tied for the top. And in those three teams, there's a possibility that one particular team may end up either first or second if they win their game Friday night. And that school is Lanier. You know, I got to call it out. Them poets got to call it out. Lanier wins Friday night. If they win on Friday night, they'll either be first. They'll be first. If they lose, they're going to be second. They can't be no worse than second. So that means they got a home game. They got a home game because how the standing is, you got Carver of Montgomery, and you got Park Cross. Carver is one. All of them are one. Park Crossing is one, and Lanier is one. Lanier beat both of them. So the bottom line is Carver plays Park Crossing. So whoever loses that game falls down in third place. So that's kind of that's different, because that team is with the people they need to whip. And now they got, is it Northfield? They got Northfield on Friday night.
Right, and they got to decide who's going to play that game too, because of the condition that happened from the storm down in Dothan. So that has not been settled where that game going to be played yet. But it is Northfield's home game.
Okay, Northfield home game. So I wanted to talk about that playoff picture, because that is a picture you can look at, because a team that's, you know, that's in third in the division, but actually first, they can win, they'll be in first, and they'll host a game. They can lose, and they'll still host a game. So that's good. That's good work. We have to applaud them over Lanier. They were fortunate enough to beat all the other teams. They beat Carver, Park Crossing, Eufaula, Dothan. And they lost to Russell County. That's who they lost to. So they're in good shape. And we'll see who Rod. It may not be the greatest setting over there, but they lit them, the individuals up last week when they played Carver had a 95-yard touchdown. They had another 89-yard touchdown pass. Throwing back. So they may be doing some positive things over there. Any other level?
Did y'all see those boys last week when they got ready to do the introductions or to coin toss and – at the captains down the field where it was time to shake hands, when Lanier just kind of locked the hands to the chest and gave Carver the west side bow, I said to myself, oh, this might be something special here.
West side bow. I ain't know that. West side bow.
I didn't either until last week.
They
would not shake their
west
hands.
West side bow.
I said, oh, it's some more flavor in this game. And at the end, we saw the results. I'm telling you, football is going to be good. I'm glad you brought that up. Well, that's a great toss-up. And it goes to show you that when you win the right game, at the end, you put yourself in the right situation, win, loss, draw, tie, by putting yourself, by taking advantage of those things ahead. Because I'm telling you, when you get to be 4, 5, 6, and 7A, winning those games going forward are vitally important.
Especially in
7-8. You got tiebreakers. And I'm telling you, it's one of those type situations. And 7-8 going to be something to see and something to reckon with. I'm telling you, I think the game between Auburn and Central Phoenix City, game 10 of Central Phoenix City, might be a game that sets some stages and could change some things going forward in the playoffs. That's going to be one to see. I plan on being at that one.
And on the flip side, I can add to this is in 7A, it's a possibility that last year we had all the teams from Montgomery Public School make the playoff, and that might not be possible this year. We know one is automatic out of the playoff, and that's Jeff Davis. But there's a good chance that Lee may not be in the Region 2 because they are in fifth. They're tied for fourth, and they're tied with Smith Station, and they will have to beat Enterprise, and Smith Station has to beat Prattville. So there's a possibility that we may not get everybody in like they did last year. But that's part of the game, and, you know, they continue to have three from one region that's going to be in, and we may only have one or neither from another region. There's only five of them that's in the makeup of the public school programs. So, Trey, on that end, you got anything on that end you want to talk about, Trey? Playoff football?
They don't have playoff football.
Yes, sir. Them. Hey, stop it. Stop it.
Make it do that, brother. All right.
Okay. In 7A, we got a big-time matchup this week. We got Austin, which is a Decatur school, versus James Clements. Both are 6-0 in the region up here. Region 7A, Region 4. That's going to be a real good one. James Clements, I'm going to tell y'all again, the team that came down there and played Thompson and got beat to sleep. But they turned it around since then. They are 6-2. The only other loss they had was against Clay Chalton with the big D lineman. They've been looking good. Austin only has one loss, and it came early in the season too. So that's going to be a big game this Friday in Decatur at 7 o'clock. So James Clements is one of the main schools that we look at coming from this area. Like I said, rolling them basketballs out, baby. Basketball season started right. Two weeks, baby.
ROB, baby. ROB. Get ready for ROB. So that's an exciting time. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll identify you with the last four digits of your cell, the telephone number, and ask you to join in the conversation by letting know what your name is or who you are and where you're calling from. All right, we looked at high school. Let's take this opportunity to look at our coach's corner. That big upset, the big upset that occurred in week 8. Tell me your thoughts on Ohio State and Purdue. Tell me what you saw, why that was a big upset, and why it was so shocking the way it was. Let's hear your thoughts, team.
Big upset. Did you say Ohio State? Did I hear you say Ohio State?
Yes.
Ohio State is not over. They're not overrated. No, they're not overrated. They're one of the top programs in the country, proving that every year. However, as they head down the stretch now, their opponents, they're better prepared. Now, teams at the beginning of the season are ranked strictly on potential, and y'all know that. And Ohio State begins each season with the potential to win it all. So they're not overrated. What you say, touchdown?
Hold up. Let me go back to the grassroots of Ohio State University. First of all, they started the season with a big turmoil. Have we forgotten that?
No.
Have we forgotten about what actually happened that has really not gone away, and sometimes some has a tendency sometimes to come back to follow you. I mean, Coach Zach just settled out with the district court this week on a plea bargaining for that harassment suit. There's tension all over the field among players. You got red zone issues. And you give up, my God, 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. You miss 20 tackles. And you miss 20 tackles, you got no business winning. And you look at Urban Meyer on the sideline, and you seem like he just kind of like, am I here? Should I not be here? What's going on? It just you know, they were playing on needles and pins. The prediction probably was probably prompt because Alabama is so far ahead, ain't no damn body close to them. And then last week, the prognosis said that Ohio State is the only team that probably can give Alabama any type of competition in a Final Four championship game. And what do you say that for? They laid down against Purdue after that. And, whoo, Lord, and what a whooping. I can give them a little bit of an edge. I'm going with Trey on this one. This shouldn't be a factor. The loss of Austin Morgan with that surgery on his foot. But when you in that high echelon of being number one through four since the playoff has been put in place, look at Alabama. One injury shouldn't be a factor. You have to. And let me throw this in at you. Just this week, my fellow colleagues, the whole Ohio State University coordinators that are supposed to be out on the road recruiting, guess what they did? Remain in the office and trying to find out some schemes that will work and trying to figure out what happened on that 49-20 loss. I'm telling you now, and the offensive coordinator, Sacchino, whatever his name, says he needs to improve in schemes and execution. I thought that was his job. Well, I say it like this right here. Still ahead is Michigan despite the blowout loss. So it's to lose that one and to worry about Michigan, they done. Stick a fork in them. That's my prognosis.
All right. The King.
I'm a dive on in. I agree totally with Touchdown Tony. I just think Ohio State got exposed. Ohio State is a screen team if you've been watching them. Haskins throw the ball sideways a lot. So when they took that away, they were lost, like totally lost. Their run game was non-existent. It just looked like doo-doo, man. Like Touchdown Tony said, with all the missed tackles, Purdue didn't do anything out of the ordinary. Their game plan was manila. They just broke tackles and executed. Nothing out of the ordinary. But like you said, Touchdown, as far as Ohio State, they got the best road to get back up in there. They have Michigan. Do they play Penn State too? Or have they played?
Ooh, Penn State? They already beat
Ohio
Penn
State.
State.
Okay. So if they get Michigan, they should have a chance at the championship of the conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what you got to look at. They can lay around. They can't afford to lose to Michigan. Even though Michigan can get anyway, but they can't afford to lose to Michigan. But the bottom line is, you got to look at the fact that with LSU moving up, you got the Florida-Georgia game coming in. Somebody going to eventually slide. It's going to be two teams from the SEC in there. Then you got to look at the SEC championship game. Then you got to look at the fact that after the Michigan game, it's a prayer. They got to sit and pray that somebody lose, and there ain't going to be a whole lot of that going on because whoever lose, going to be losing somebody that's trying to get in to that 4-5 spot. Notre Dame puts a mess in the game. I say it again. With being independent sometimes causes problems because you sometimes earn the right to be and don't have to defend not being in because you've already settled your mission. So it's going to be very, very bleak for Ohio State. And it should be because I thought they were a little bit old, dare I say, overrated from the beginning. However, you got to rank somebody. And to have Alabama ranked the way they are, you know, it ain't nothing higher than number one, is it? But Alabama should be ranked number 21 over one because I'm telling you, I never see the team so finessed and so prepared. And it's just like watching a scrimmage for two quarters, then you can go flip the challenges somewhere else. So it looks like it's going to be Alabama in, Clemson probably going to get daunted a little bit there along the way with a few of those ACC teams, but that's not going to move them. And those other two, Notre Dame ain't going to steal the independent spot. It's going to be about three teams wrestling for that last four spots. And I think Ohio State is very – I mean, beat Michigan would give them an opportunity to be recognized, but I think they're done.
Hey, Coach, I'm going
go ahead.
Touchdown. Let me tell you this. It's going to be Alabama, but Alabama going to go ahead with one loss. Undefeated Clemson, Florida, Notre Dame. If Notre Dame can survive that rivalry schedule, they're in. Outside shot for Texas and Michigan, buddy. I just thought I'd throw you that one.
You know, I'm glad you said that because, you know, the teams I was saying that was battling for those last spots, I was going to mention that before I was very intentionally interrupted, was Texas and Michigan.
Yeah, I know you didn't just say that. Mr. Interruption, I know you didn't just say that, but go ahead.
I said it, Joshua. And you're right.
Yes, sir.
You're
yes,
right.
Sir.
You're right on target. And because I think the Texas and Michigan and Nebraska feels like they got a chance to beat Ohio State. They have no respect for Ohio State right now. So let's not. I think we need to concentrate now on Texas and look at Notre Dame. And don't forget about Georgia because of what happens in the SEC that will bring teams back. LSU, I just don't think they have enough of.
They got to play that. Alabama. you can put them out. They got to play Alabama. that's done. Then you you talk about it, Alabama is 20-21 above. LSU is not going to beat Alabama. Forget that.
And Darryl made a statement about Alabama being one team lost. I guess Alabama could be one team lost if they played on Sunday. And you know who they play to play on Sunday, right? NFL.
Patriots. No. But you can join this conversation as well, 347-857-4192. Just kind of add my two cents for the King ad is in there. And I just personally think that it's something about teams like Texas. I don't really think they're going to be there. They just don't have. They lost a quarterback with a shoulder injury that was doing some things. They was already confused, so they out. Notre Dame will be there. I believe they'll be there because there's no other teams left. And then you have it won't be two SEC teams. Don't even get that thought because they're not going to allow it because you still got Ohio State and Michigan. Even one of them that division. Then you got Clemson, Notre Dame, and Alabama. So that eliminates that two team. Only other team that can get in there that from the SEC is Alabama has to lose in the championship game, and they are considering putting them in over those other teams. So we'll look at it. The King, you got something to say about that, King?
I agree totally with you right there, Dr. Smith. You know, a lot of people are telling me LSU will be Bama's biggest test. I don't see it. LSU can't score points. They can't points. If you can't score points, I don't think you can beat Alabama. People talk all the time about LSU defense is this and that. I have yet to with a loss to Florida and Auburn moving the ball effectively on you. People don't realize this, Dr. Smith. Auburn blew the game against LSU. LSU ain't beat Auburn.
2 years in a row.
It blew it. Blew
it. 2 years in a row.
Hey, blew it, touchdown. But people not looking at that. But they saying that team will be a test for Alabama. But you're telling me Auburn can move the ball on you and Alabama can't?
You know what, though? Dale, you still there? You know.
Yes, sir. I'm still here, coach.
If I was a coach and could blow – 2 games in a row to LSU, come back and beat Alabama and make millions. I think I'll keep that same schedule. We won't worry about no damn Final Four.
I want to say this before I have to go, but I just want to say this.
Okay.
I believe within all my heart and everything that's inside of me that last year, Coach Nick Saban save Gus by letting him win that. Let him win that game. I believe that with all my heart.
Okay. Good way to believe, Dale. Good way to. Well,
yeah. But
yeah. But you
somebody
know, guys,
gotta be.
Somebody got to be. Hey, we got two topics more we want to talk about, and we want to kind of shut it out because I know Dale, so he has to get out of here, and we all gonna get out there in a little bit. What do you think about the cartel? Well, I can't say that no more. The world's biggest football.
football party in Jacksonville being Georgia and Florida this weekend. What do y'all think about that?
Cocktail results. Georgia took a hit against LSU, true enough. And they realize they're not invincible. Sometimes thinking you're invincible and never seeing anything to make you think you are any different helps you think you're invincible. But Florida had brought in, they bought in on Dan Mullen's idea of football. He wins the cocktail party and takes the commanding lead in the East. And I do believe that Don Mullen, with the right scheme, might even get beat Saban. That's all I got to say. Y'all go ahead.
Ooh, Lord.
All right.
Ooh,
Lord.
Woo, come on. Let's get it. Let's hit it right quick because there's one more topic I want to talk about. Professional basketball.
I dive in right quick, touchdown. I agree totally with half of that Darryl said. I think Florida can pull this game out. Georgia got exposed against LSU. I think Florida has more of a offense. They're more of a ball control team. So I think they can ball control against Georgia because both of them play the same way. Georgia is built like that, but I don't think they're explosive enough to run away with a Florida team. So I think if it's close, Florida can pull it out.
Go ahead, Tess. Who was Florida's biggest loss, biggest win, and who was Georgia's worst loss this year?
LSU.
Let's go to the next topic. All right. Let's move it. Let's keep it moving. All right. Let's look at some professional basketball. You know, it's been hot. You know, this is the first time I actually sit out and watch a basketball game in the first two or three games. I'm talking about professional basketball. The Lakers. Been watching the Lakers. All right. Tell us your thoughts in regards to the situation with the Lakers and the Rockets fighting the other night. Tell me was the suspension right? Or should have been longer? Are we still talking about it? Because the talking heads and the pundits are still talking about that situation. How it was handled? LeBron, did he support his team? Or was he hugging on Chris Paul? Tell me what you thought. Let me get your thoughts on that right now.
Well, suspensions have never gotten right. Let's kill that one anyway. I've been in the business of suspensions for last eight years, and they're usually done. They're viewed as who did what, who got caught, who seemed to be the forerunner of the incident, the severity of the character of the individual, et cetera. And so that part never gets right. But let me say this. Rondo and Chris Paul have been going at it for a while. And a lot of they've been going at it is competitiveness and respectability. Rondo has always been the type of point guard in the league that has been on the downswing of being a good point guard with some character flaws because of his competitiveness. On the other hand, Chris Paul has been that point guard that comes from more of a elite business type that has those type flaws that most players in the league say has been protected by some of the biggest swingers in the league. But I still have to say this. I think what LeBron did in that game is what a veteran player is supposed to do, regardless to whether his player or any player, friend, et cetera, is to be a mediator and not a participator. And everybody going to have that perspective of maybe he was not looking out for his own player because I don't see it that way because I saw Carmelo grab the other kid, the one that got it started.
Ingram.
That's right. So that was that. The bottom line was it's a game of that magnitude. Here you got Rondo that could have been, if you look at it, because you know what happened when you used to go to Atlanta and New Orleans, right?
Mm-hmm.
You almost headed where? Home, right?
Home. Yep.
So,
hey,
huh?
Okay, there.
Touchdown. Can I say something?
Yeah, intelligently interrupt me. Go ahead.
Okay. The fight between Rondae and Christian. Since that happened, has anyone won a game? Does anyone even care except the NBA? It takes a lot to put a black eye on the league. And that has many – the league already got many, many internal problems. Hell, it was actually the best action the whole game. So, man, please, let them fight.
And you got a point because, if you find them, doesn't matter about what you find them, it goes to charity, then it's a tax write-off. So, hey, what a suspension. The only thing about this suspension is suspension without pay. But I say this in conclusion to that – Rondo having an opportunity to come back on the biggest stage was an opportunity to him to get face-to-face and get right with one of his worst enemies, and that being Chris Paul. And I'm going to be honest with you.
Yep.
I watched that – I'm retired now, so I can watch TV a lot and all day long. In fact, even when I go to my contract job, I take my laptop and I still watch ESPN. And I'll be honest with you, old brother did spit on it. He spit on it. They slowed that camera down. He gave him one of those quick ones. And that's enough for me and Darryl to start fighting somebody.
Yep, that's enough. All right, King, we're going to close it.
It's two things you can't do when it comes to the brothers. You can't talk about their mama, and you can't spit on them.
That's two things you can't do. There you go. All right. King? We lost the King?
No, I'm here now.
Okay.
You know, I'm a Laker fan, Dr. Smith, and it's been hurting me the last couple of games, last week of basketball. That situation with LeBron had nothing to do with LeBron. That was all Rondo. Rondo had handled it himself. Brandon Ingram was already mad from the situation with James Harden. So I don't know what he was doing. He losing his mind, too. We about to deal these jokers. These one-year jokers, we about to get rid of them, Dr. Smith. These jokers, we can't win with these guys, man. These jokers fight and carry on. We not focused. Not focused, Dr. Smith. So what we're going to do is we're going to deal these one-year jokers and get them up out of there. But when Lance Stevenson is not running to the fight, I believe he's a changed man, Dr. Smith.
Man,
he's breaking the fight.
Hey, Lance Stevenson knows this is his last damn job. He got to have these fights. Shit, he's trying to get paid.
Hey, that's what I got, Dr. Smith.
Awesome. Well, we're at the end of the show, and I can just say it's basketball is good enough to be back because LeBron is in the West for me to watch it in these first three games, even though they're 0-3, the Lakers, and some of the others are 2-0, 4-0, even the Toronto Raptors are 4-0. But we're at the end of the show, and we always have a good time. I want the co-host to close it out on their end, how they feel. We'll start with the King, and we'll go over there to Touchdown Tony, and if there you're still with it, we'll let you close out. Say what you have to say, and then I'll just shut it down because it's time for the game. It's a game changer time. That's what it's all about, the game changer. Trey.
All right, Trey. Dr. Smith, Darryl E., Touchdown Tony, glad to be here with y'all tonight. I had to text y'all and update you on the James Clements Austin game, big time game up this way, and I'll let y'all guys know what's going on with that. Y'all have a great night.
Come on, Jay Clemens beat Sparkman last week. They ain't beat nobody. They're going to be playing basketball, too. Anyway, it's been nice, fellas.
Go ahead.
As always, it is a pleasure to be a part of such a great camaraderie. And as always, I say, have a nice day. You take the day, and don't let the day take you.
Awesome. That's all right. And we're about to wrap it up. Darryl has dropped. That means, he's no longer with us, but it's always good to have a chance to try to close out a show. You know, we had an exciting time talking about many topics. You know, our hashtag is keep on grinding. That's my hashtag. Hashtag communicate for understanding with the number 4, and the hashtag is Smith Way. But we're at the point now,
when we're going to say goodbye. It was outstanding tonight. And we love you. And ain't a thing we can do about it. It's game changer time. Have a wonderful night. And we'll talk with you next week on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And love you. Goodbye.